We have worship circle this Friday at 7 here. You should definitely come to that because it's so awesome. Are there any Christmas announcements? Anything? Does anyone know anything about
Christmas play?
Yeah. It's the 17th, and everybody knows about that. All right, and the women's kinship is at Cindy's on the 16th. Go to that. Pamela's doing lessons and carols on Christmas Eve morning. Christmas. Okay, come and go communion, 6 o'clock Christmas Eve. Do it up. Christmas Eve. We've got a morning thing and an evening thing. That is. It's legit. What? Yeah. I love these decorations that we have. Someone did that. I think it was Cindy. And it's beautiful. Todd, your Christmas Eve thing, is it Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, okay. Awesome.
But there's no barbecue.
No barbecue. That's okay. All right, I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy and your peace. Help us hear your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, good morning. It is the first Sunday in Advent today. Yeah. And Advent is the beginning of the church calendar. Okay. The church year starts with Advent. And then it's Christmas, which lasts for 12 days, like in the song. Yeah. And then Epiphany and Lent and Easter and then Pentecost. And then there's like this huge space of time after Pentecost. Yeah. Ordinary time. And then it's Advent again, right? Starting over. So while we're winding down our year, the church year is just beginning, you know? And I think that's pretty cool. And Advent comes from a Latin word meaning arrival or coming. And it's the time that we celebrate the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus. Not just the birth of Jesus, though, but the coming of Jesus even... the second coming of Jesus. So a lot of times in Advent, you will hear sermons about, you know, the prophets and especially John the Baptist. He'll come up a lot. And it's actually a little bit creepy, to be honest. The first couple Sundays in Advent are always a little bit creepy. And I feel kind of like I'm bombing up here talking about the church calendar. It's okay. I'm going to win you back here in a minute. I just know it. When I was a kid, I loved Advent. And I loved it not because I understood what any of that was about. I loved it for purely kid reasons. And it was because we got to sing Christmas hymns during church. And that was pretty exciting. Because most of the hymns that we sung were from the 1600s and 1700s. So, you know, Angels We Have Heard on High, you know, despite its Latin lyric, was written in 1862, so it was, like, practically modern. And Go Tell It on the Mountain, that's still a new release, I think. Yeah. But Advent ends on Christmas Eve. And that's when, at church, we'd have the Christmas pageant. And did anyone else have to do Christmas pageants when you were kids? Anyone? Like two, three? Yeah. Did you have to wear like the white smock with the coat hanger angel wings? Yeah. Jimmy, can I have my slide? Look at that. Yeah. Yes. The Christmas pageant was like the worst part of Advent to me. I'm sure the parents loved it, but it was like the worst. Because you had to, like, speak into a microphone in front of the whole church. And if you were a boy, it was cool because they got to be a shepherd or a wise man. Yeah. But if you were a girl, you were an angel, right? And you stand in the back and you don't fidget. But if you were an older girl and you were lucky, you might get picked to play Mary. And Mary was like a cush gig because you didn't have to have a speaking part. You just sat and looked serenely at a baby doll, Jesus. It was easy street. And I was in the Christmas pageant from like ages 5 to 32. And I was never picked to play Mary. I just want you to know that. I was never picked. I'm not bitter about it. I am super bitter about it. Yeah, I probably will. Yeah, thanks. No, but they could figure out that I could read well, and so I was a narrator for the rest of my life. That's okay. But I want to share something with you guys, and it's something very close to my heart. And a lot of you might not know this about me, but I love Christmas. And it's easy to be disgusted and frustrated that right after Halloween, the stores and the car dealerships and everything commercial starts shoving Christmas into our faces. It's gross. And I hate that. I hate it just as much as you hate it. But that is not Christmas. Yeah. My brother and I, we have a rule that Christmas, the Christmas season doesn't start until you're standing in line at CVS and you hear Dolly Parton singing Hard Candy Christmas. And like every year we wait to see who gets to text the person first, like who got to hear it first. So I love it. I love all the songs, the stupid songs. I love those too. I love the cartoons and the creepy claymation movies. And You'll Shoot Your Eye Out. Yes, I love it all. I love all of that and I love Christmas. Now, the Bible is filled with God choosing unlikely people to accomplish his will. And the Christmas story is no different. It is, it's like God is showing off, saying like, okay, how many unlikely, humble, unassuming strangers can I use in this scenario? And can you imagine him going over the game plan with the angels? Like, all right, here's what I got so far. I'm going to reveal myself to mankind. And I've got an unwed pregnant teenager. And her fiance is going to be cool with this. But they have to travel at the last minute. And she's going to give birth in a barn. And then you guys are going to scare me up some shepherds. And I've got some foreign wizards coming. And there's a cuckoo bananas king, a monster of a man. And because of him, the new family has to flee to Egypt and live as refugees until that king dies. Like, what do you guys think? And the angels are like, is that it? And he says, well, eventually, there's going to be a wild preacher prophet out in the wilderness who eats bugs. And they're like, of course, of course. But God, when do you show up in this story? And he's like, oh, well, I'm the baby in the barn. That one, that's me. So the whole story is so incredible. And God uses the most unlikely people to make his story. And none of those people would have been friends or would have even met each other, you know. They wouldn't have affected each other's lives if it were not for one very vulnerable infant. And Mary and Joseph weren't planning on starting a family, you know, before they were married. I bet they would have rather waited till they were married, until they were living at home to give birth. And the shepherds were at work, right? They were on the job site when God called them out to be part of his story. And the wise men, like, what were they doing there? God calls these non-Jewish foreign wizards to be part of his story. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And God calls these unlikely people from a different religion, a different country. They have to leave their home to come worship an infant. In verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So their lives are spared. They're able to go back to wherever they came from. And I guess they got to tell people what they saw, right? They said, we followed the star. We got to worship the king of the Jews. And I wonder if when they'd followed the star, they were confused because it led them to a house and not a palace. Because they were looking for a king. But it says, when they saw the child with Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshiped him. They were in the presence of the truth and were compelled to worship. And they gave him extravagant gifts. It's verse 13. Now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt to remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt, I call my son. And I love this. I love how God works. I love that he uses unlikely people. And I love that basically the night before, the Holy Family has to flee for their lives to Egypt. That a non-Jewish group of wealthy wise men gave them gold and fancy gifts, which, if not entirely financing their escape, I'm sure it helped a great deal. I'm sure a sack of gold made it easier to start a new life in Egypt. I love how God put these strangers together for just a moment. You know, they didn't get to hang out and build relationships with each other. I don't even know if they spoke the same language. And still, there's such a profound impact, right? And isn't that what Christmas is all about? Like a moment with a profound impact. I think that we are all unlikely people, and God asks us to do stuff all the time. And we need to be obedient. When the wise men saw the star and felt compelled to leave their country to worship a baby king and bring him gifts, they obeyed. Right? They could have talked themselves out of it. They could have said, well, let's wait until he's older so he can appreciate us for bringing him gifts. And then I wonder how the escape to Egypt would have gone then. You know, without their gifts, would they have had to split up? You know, if only Mary and Jesus could go and not Joseph, if he had had to stay because they couldn't afford to all go at once. I don't know. It doesn't really matter because the wise men obeyed. So, go out this Christmas season and be God's unlikely people. Father, thank you for letting us be your unlikely people and help us to obey you when you call us. Spirit, help our hearts say yes and help our actions say yes. And open the eyes of our hearts so we recognize your strangers and your vulnerable people that you send our way. And don't let us forget that sometimes we are the stranger and sometimes we are the vulnerable one. Thank you for this day, and thank you for your good provision. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, and we're going to do ministry time over here on the carpet. If anyone needs prayer, go over there, and if the band would come back up, we'll do some more church.